A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. It shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. We're in the calm after the Christmas riot of the pageant, and it's wonderful and beautiful to be with you on this third Sunday of Advent. Lately, for various reasons, I've been thinking about the academic sabbatical I took about 3 years ago now. During that time, I was invited and accepted the call to be interim rector of a parish in Nashville. Now, y'all may not be fully aware of this, but being a rector is one of the most challenging jobs there is. There's an amen from Father Hendry in the back, I hear. Being an interim rector is hardly any better. You have to do a lot of difficult work to help the congregation cope with the past rectors leaving, even if they left on good terms or bad, and to prepare them to receive the new rector. And sometimes this can require the equivalent of very large group therapy, to be honest with you. So it was a challenging time. I grew tremendously in that time. But the bishop who called me and with the congregation to come down, he was sensitive to the fact that this was supposed to be my sabbatical, first time in 20 years, and I was supposed to be writing a book. So he encouraged me to take a three-day retreat to St. Mary's Swanee, up on that holy mountain. Well, one misty morning, I was walking the gravel path towards the convent of the Sisters of St. Mary for morning prayer. And it was beautiful. There in front of me was just this gravel path turned a little to the right and then to the left and was lost in the woods. The sun was coming through, but it wasn't strong enough to burn the mist away, and the colors were deeply saturated, just like you were looking at some painting almost. And I felt as if I was stepping into the land of fairy. I wasn't. I had my cell phone with me. I pulled it out. I took a picture that turned out remarkably well. And in the manner of memes, I posted the picture, and I added this quote from Tolkien that's well known: "Not all those who wander are lost." Some of you may know the quote. It comes from Lord of the Rings when we meet the figure of Aragorn, who it turns out is the High King who will return, but we don't know that yet. And there's this poem to introduce him: "All that is gold does not glitter. Not all those who wander are lost." You'll see that on bumper stickers sometimes. And so here I'm looking at this path going off into the woods, and with this beautiful photographic image, I put this inspiring quote: "Not all who wander are lost," and then I added, "But some may be, so you might ask if they need any directions." So I was reminded of this image and quote not just because I finished a wonderful book about Tolkien, Lewis, Barfield, and Charles Williams, The Inklings, but because our Advent readings so often invoke and evoke this image of a path that we walk through upon life or that God follows into our lives. The prophet Isaiah today is speaking about the day of the Lord. He assures us that although it is a day of judgment, it means that God's justice will be done. It is the redemption, therefore, of God's people. It is a day of great rejoicing. It is God bringing us home. The image is of those who have been cast out, caused to live in exile from their true home, walking, skipping, rejoicing home to God. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, not even me, shall go astray. And the ransomed of the Lord, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isaiah is speaking to Israel, who had been banished from their homeland, forced to live in exile in Babylon, but he speaks to us as well. We to live in exile. God created a perfect world, a world that was very good and perfect for us to live in, and he created us for it, but now it is broken. It's a place choked with weeds of wickedness, and we know that this isn't where we're supposed to be. We know this isn't our final home because we yearn to be in that home. And the prophet tells us that's okay, because God is going to bring us home on a safe and secure path. Not even the fools among us will go astray. God will lead us home. And this metaphor of life as a journey, of course, has been with humanity since the beginning. You can find it in all cultures and all traditions. And in the creation story of Genesis, we hear it right away after Adam and Eve had sinned. It says, "Therefore the Lord God sent them forth from the garden." They're going out. They're stepping out of that lush, safe place, and their journey is just beginning. And that image of them stepping out of their door, so to speak, reminds me, if you will, of another Tolkien quote. This time from The Hobbit, that novel that started the whole series, and Gandalf, the old gray wizard, is speaking to young Frodo, who's getting ready to head out. And Gandalf says, "It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to." We step out on this journey, there's no knowing where we might get in between. And there are countless tales of novels of great journey of life. Somebody asked me before, I'll give you another one from young adult literature, Turan Wanderer, wonderful series of books. And in all of these stories, the hero must make a passage through a dark time and place to grow more fully into their true self. The necessary wrong turns, the dead ends, the difficult crossings that break down and then build up the character. This is so common, it's ingrained in us, this idea of our life as a journey. That phrase, life as a journey, is a cliche only because it is so true. But in that journey, we are not left to simply wander aimlessly, even though it may feel that way. We're not off on a moor or a desert or the woods without any paths or tracks to follow. God has given us a map. The Hebrew word that we often hear in the Bible and associate with the law is the word Torah. It really means teaching. The proper noun that is used to describe legal material in Judaism is actually called halakha. It comes from the root halach, to walk. It means the way. The law of God, that's our map. The law of God is the way in which we are to make our way through this life. Our path is laid before us. The law of God is the map that provides the directions, the guideposts for us to follow through this life, so that we can walk through the darkest valley and fear no evil, because we're on the path that God has provided for us. Now, Paul and the prophets will remind us that that law is not meant to trap us. That map is not meant to lead us into dead ends or cul-de-sacs, although we might use it that way. But rather, it is to guide us and direct us ever closer to God. And then God sent his only son, Jesus, to provide the living example. And he called all the world to come and follow him. Followers of Jesus. That's what he calls us all to be, to follow him on this journey. And what was the name given to the earliest followers of Jesus? That movement was called the Way. Acts of the Apostles, that's the term that's used because it is the way we are to follow and live our lives. And it was in those days that John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So last week, Father Hendry shared with us the meanings of sin, confession, and repentance. Sin, he reminded us, is when we miss the mark. Father Henry used the image of archery or riflery when you're shooting for a target. We could add to that image of departing from the way or the path. And repentance, then, is our return to focus our attention back on that target, to get ourselves back onto that path that we were meant to follow. And that's what John the Baptist and prophets like Isaiah, all of them really, are doing when they're preaching repentance. They're calling us back to the path so that we might follow it, but also so that we would be ready for God to walk that way into our lives. So while God has provided us a path to follow, the road, the traffic on that road flows both ways. John is calling us to repent in order to clear the path of our hearts of all debris and detritus so that there is a wide, broad, and straight path for God to enter into our lives. This preparation, this getting things in order, we talk about that a lot in the season of Advent. Today, right, we tend to think of it about the cleaning and the decorating and the cooking that we do for Christmas, remembering the birth of Jesus. But of course, you all know, Advent is not about the first coming of Jesus into this world, but his second. We're to prepare our hearts and the whole world around us to be ready for God to enter fully and completely into this world as he transforms us and this world into being what we were always meant to be. This image is found in Paul's language when he talks about Jesus coming again and uses the term parousia. The Greek word, it means presence and arrival, and its Latin equivalent is adventus, from which we get Advent. This term parousia, this coming, this arrival of Jesus, was used in Paul's time to refer to an emperor or a king. He would let a city know in his kingdom that he was going to come and visit. Sometimes might be coming to relieve them of a siege and prepare them, but on other good days, when just coming to visit and see his people, the people of that city would go out and they would prepare the way. They would make sure those last few miles looked gorgeous, that the road would be nice and flat, no ruts for the horses or the carts to get stuck in, that it would be beautiful, and it would be all ready for the emperor or the king to come easily, beautifully flowing in. But then they don't sit in the city behind the walls with the gates closed, waiting for the emperor to come and knock, "Hello. Emperor here, open up." No, the gates are wide open and they come running out to meet the emperor, the king. Reminds me of when I was a little kid and my grandparents lived just up the road, but when I knew they would be coming down, especially for Christmas or a birthday, I'd jump up and down and look out the window at the top of I don't have to jump up and down anymore, but you know, the window at the top of the door. And as soon as I saw their big old Buick pull in, I'd run out of the door, down the steps of the driveway to meet them and welcome them. That's the parousia. That's the coming. That's the arrival of God that is about to happen. That's what Paul is invoking in Thessalonians and other places where he writes about this preparation. Make way clear and prepared for God to travel into our lives. And in so doing, to take us home, to be where we need to be. So the way is made clear, and with celebration, we go and meet our Lord. And that advent of our God and King, it did begin with the birth of Jesus. It is ongoing, this parousia, this presence of God in our lives. And that beginning of that transformation was seen already in Jesus' ministry. So that when John the Baptist asks his disciples, "Please, I'm hearing all these things. Go ask him, are you the one?" Jesus' response is, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." Because what is happening is this: the blind are receiving their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. This is the presence of God at work in our lives. This is God bringing justice and mercy. This is Jesus already meeting us on the highway as he sets us upon the holy way. leading us out of exile back home to God with joy and gladness. But our journey's not yet over. We've met our King, and we're journeying back to the city of God. But along that way, we have a tendency to stray from the path. We're certain we know a shortcut. To be honest, it's a very dad thing. I know a shorter way. Or we want to go and explore what we think will be new, more interesting or exciting routes. And it's true, there are all sorts of interesting things over there, beautiful flowers, intoxicating smells, vistas to be seen. But like the Instagrammer at the Grand Canyon, we sometimes walk too close to the edge, believing that that selfie off the beaten path will be the one that we must have. But if you get too close to the edge, well, we fall off the way, the path that God has for us. And that's okay. God knows we're human. And that's what we do. And that's okay. And that's why God sent us the prophets like Isaiah and John the Baptist to call us to turn around, shuv, to repent, and to get headed back on the right path. The path that we are to walk, and then the path that we are to prepare in our lives, inviting God to walk right in. So listen and look. Hear and see all that God is doing. This is the advent of our Lord. And in this time of preparation, how will you prepare the way of the Lord? Amen.